I would like to call the Economic Development, Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture July 2nd meeting to order. Can we do a roll call, Clerk Muller?
Chair Sperry.
I'm here.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran.
Here.
Legislator Hewitt. Legislator Stewart.
Here.
Legislator Walz.
Here.
You have 6 members present, 1 absent.
Perfect. And let's all join each other in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So before we begin, I just want to remind everybody on meeting structure and decorum. Priority is given to committee members for discussion and questions. Any resolutions with sponsors present will also be given priority, and it's up to the chair's discretion to open the floor to non-members. First item on the agenda is approval of the June 4th, 2024 meeting minutes. Are there any discussion or questions? Is there a motion to approve the June 4th meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. They are approved. Wonderful. So tonight we are joined by Department of Economic Development Director Lynch and Agricultural Services Coordinator Deborah DeWan, who will be giving us a short presentation to provide some background relating to the first 2 resolutions on the agenda, provided as additional backup material for our resolution number 400 from 2022, which was adopted in February 23, which was amending the 2023 budget to fund the Ulster County Agricultural Crisis Relief Program, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. So are you guys ready to give
absolutely.
Your, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairwoman Sperry. I have a short presentation, so
I'm just gonna. I have to share the screen real quick so that Todd can see what you're doing.
Very good. Okay. Technology.
Hmm. Hope that means you can hear us.
Yeah, there he is.
Hi, Todd.
Okay.
And if you're good.
We're good. Oh, okay, great. Again, thank you, Chairwoman Sperry, for taking out the time to allow me to do this presentation. And you know, as the chairwoman just mentioned, this is relating to the Agriculture Crisis Relief Program, which was really started by Resolution 400, sponsored by Kathy Nolan and Herb Litz, the 2 county legislators. But, you know, I wanted to do this presentation to kind of give you an overview of what we've been thinking as it relates to the subrecipient contracts. So in terms of an index, and again, this is going to be very brief, and there'll be Q&A afterwards. We've also invited individuals here to answer your questions as we go through this. But first of all, we're going to give you an overview of the Agriculture Crisis Relief Program, and then we're going to look at specifics in terms of, you know, what the program entails for the subrecipient contracts, in particular for regarding soil and water conservation, and then we're going to look at the program description for HVATC. Both of these programs have specific intents with soil and water. You know, we're looking at resiliency and soil health, and with HVADC, we're concerned here with county farm viability and sustainable projects. Then we're going to do just a quick description of the subrecipients. I think there are pages in the attachments that you have, but we have Todd Erling and Marianne Johnson with us from HVADC to kind of give you an overview. We also have, and we also have a friend here from Jake with Wiedemann with soil and water. So moving through the index very quickly, just some quick background. As you're well aware of, that the American Rescue Plan was funded by the feds in relation to the coronavirus emergency, which supports local governments in response to, as I mentioned, the public health emergency. So the funding for this agriculture relief program was funded through ARPA. And like, as I mentioned earlier, it's for Resolution 400, sponsored by county legislators. And there were key items in this resolution that were the focus in terms of helping farms in Ulster County. The first one being farmland conservation, the second being climate resiliency and soil health, and the third being farm viability and sustainable projects. And also lastly, the program coordinator, which we hired Deborah Dewan to kind of spearhead that effort. So when you think about the programs in specifics in terms of, you know, what is the funding going to go to as relates to the contracts, in particular with soil, water, and the conservation district, we're dedicating $200,000 to support soil health programs, climate resilience farming, and energy efficiency projects. But this would, the funding will also increase the local match state funded programs with implementing projects and furthering SWCD's conservation programs. So $200,000 of the ARPA funding will be dedicated specifically for this program. And Jake will certainly talk about, you know, soil and water. And many of you are quite aware of this program because we have contracts with them in the past. The second aspect of the program is going to be focused on primarily climate resiliency and farm viability. And that's going to be with, as I mentioned earlier, with Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corp. And essentially, they're going to be working with the Office of Economic Development and crafting the program to target farmers around programs that deal with climate resiliency and farm viability. So, and that amount is $689,000. I did a brief overview of each of these subrecipients, but I think, you know, at this time, certainly we can read this, but, you know, Soil and Water is a quasi-government agency, which was established in 1965. Its mission is to protect soil, water quality, and other natural resources, and maintain resource productivity and protect or improve profitability. And as I mentioned earlier, Jake will certainly go through this and just give you a quick overview of this organization and the work that they've been doing. Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, established in 2007, is the certified CDFI. And that's very important when we think about agriculture, because this organization right now is the sole source in terms of doing the CDFI work in the Hudson Valley. And many of you who understand what a CDFI does, it's a financing agency that's able to do loans, grants. But for us, it's catalytic because it gives us a relationship with an agency that will help us fund many of the projects in the agriculture sector, which doesn't exist right now in Ulster County. And Todd and certainly Marianne will give you some background on that as well. So, as I said, this is just a quick overview, and I'm just going to allow, you know, Jake to kind of give a quick description of his organization, then I'm going to have Marianne Johnson and Todd give you an overview of this.
I'm Jake Wiedemeyer from the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District, and as you already know me, we are basically an action agency. So what we do is we get state and local funding, also New York City funding. We implement a variety of different projects. We're heavily agriculturally focused, right? We do everything from cover crop plans, nutrient management, barnyards, manure storage, irrigation systems, roof water management, rotational grazing systems, stream bank restoration, riparian plantings, this flood hazard mitigation. Assist the MS4 communities with stormwater preventing. We also teach the New York State 4-hour erosion sediment control course. Travis and I do that. I'm on the two state instructors that teach the course for other people to get their state certification. So we're in a little bit of everything. It's hard for me to keep track. So I don't have the clip notes, but yeah, we're here to help. The nice thing about this job is, to me, one of the best jobs to have. I've done this for a long time. I interned with the Clinton County Stormwater Conservation District many years ago. I'm not going to date myself, but I was in college and I said, you know, I really like this job. This is what I want to do. So when it didn't work out dairy farming for me, I got a job at the district eventually. And the nice thing about it is you're able to help people. You're able to do good work and help. Very proud of that. So, you know, I have a legacy, so we could point out with the staff, our team, all the work we've done. And I think, you know, one of these days we should get a tour bus and show you all of that we've done between agricultural work, stream work. We even do house calls as well, drainage, foundations, erosion. It's fun. Thank you.
Todd, if you would like just to give us a brief overview of HVAGC and open it up with questions.
Sure. Appreciate you all facilitating me joining you from North Carolina. Actually, as you can see, in the family bedroom on the family vacation, but it was where I could get the best Wi-Fi and the most quiet area. It's supper time and people are cracking crab. We got about 15 of us in the house here. So.
Just trying to
all
make
right,
it.
Okay. We get it.
Yeah, I took a time out. We're good. Long story short, we were founded in 2007 as a regional nonprofit to focus on agriculture as economic development, and with economic development and community development tools and programs. We've been a longtime partner with Ulster County through both the IDA, but also the Planning Department and the Ag and Farmland Protection Board. We have worked on everything from individual one-on-one technical assistance projects through our Incubator Without Walls, up through our Business Accelerator Program. We've evolved into a loan portfolio and our very first loan to a regional farm and food business was Arrowwood Farms. We partnered with Ulster Community Development on that so that they could complete a CFA and get their reimbursement from Empire State Development. And our largest loan that we have actually made in our footprint is to Hudson Valley Seed Company. So we have a great track history on the ground. We have a really great partnership with both planning, economic development, extension, and Roundup Valley Growers, other organizations on the ground, the Farm Hub, back then the Novo Foundation. So happy to work with you. Look forward to it. I'll let Marianne kind of build on some of our work through the Hudson Valley Food System Coalition and our Feed HV programs, but also here just to answer questions and stay live. So Marianne, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add sitting in the room there.
No, mention that Chairwoman Sperry makes the Ulster County Fair, and this year Feed HV, our food rescue program, will be doing some food rescue at the end of the fair. We've successfully done it in Dutchess County for the past 2 years, and we're really excited to be expanding and coming into Ulster County and making sure that we can get that extra food, that spare food, and move it over to some feeding agencies.
Great. Wonderful.
So that kind of wraps it up in terms of the presentation. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them if everyone hears. Thank you, Doc.
Does anybody have any questions from the committee members? Would you like to say anything?
Well, I just actually am very pleased that we're able to come before you tonight and that we have two amazing organizations that are going to be working even more in Ulster County to help support our farmers and our agriculture sector. critically important to all of us, whether it's feeding people or saving the land or growing food. And, you know, so I'm just really pleased that this program is happening. Thank you all for all the work you've done to get us to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually going to ask, like, I know that you've been in at your desk for just a little while now, but obviously you've been working in this industry and in this sector for a long time. So I was just going to ask if you've been able to identify like a few priorities, like things that we really need to be hit the ground running on right now.
Well, I mean, I think the challenge is for farmers is that how do they take where they are? And the challenges, both economic and climate issues,
mm-hmm.
and actually implement practices. I mean, there's, you know, there's a cost associated with that. There's a lot of different moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'm hoping that the county can do with these programs is to help facilitate mm-hmm. that, and certainly working with HVADC and developing a grant program, that we're going to be doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
So listening to the farmers, finding out what are, you know, how to actualize some of these needs, and helping get the support out there. And as far as soil and water conservation is concerned, I mean, I've just been increasingly impressed with every program that they do and how much the farmers appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
and how it's actually transformational. So I just see this as transformational for agriculture in Ulster County. We're diverse. We have 480 some odd farms of all sizes and stripes, and I think that that's a strength.
Mm-hmm.
So we must vote on that.
Great. Go ahead.
I just had a question. I was wondering if you maybe could explain maybe some of the programs that you have that are targeted towards dairy farmers. I know that Jake Wiedemeyer, who mentioned earlier that he failed as a dairy farmer, which from what I understand is not an unusual situation. So I was wondering if you could maybe explain some of the stuff that you're doing with dairy farms.
So the Economic Development Department itself is not working on dairy farms, but we have legislator Litz, who works in at the livestock farm, and also Melanie from Cornell.
Yes.
Excuse me. So we have a lot of resources that are working to help support dairy farms in the county. But I would also say that HVADC has done some work with dairy farms, and they may be bringing that expertise to help us as well.
That is the probably most complicated farming sector we have is dairy.
Right.
And we've done quite a bit of work. We've done work with businesses who are looking to do some value-added production, help, you know, shore up their bottom line. Can we talk about the other thing?
Yeah,
I think there's two components we can make a pretty succinct comment on. One is because we have the support from the Dairy Business Innovation Center, which is the best practice center out of UVM, which is funded federally. There's four of them across the country. We're lucky enough to have one in a neighboring state and a very close relationship with it. And Marianne and HVADC staff has actually led an accelerator program that they are funding. So that's not just for dairy farms, but it's also specifically targeted to that value-add dairy businesses that are sourcing from New York dairy farms and then taking it to the next step with a value-add product and getting into New York markets. But what Marianne's talking about is, you know, the governor and the legislature with leadership from Senator Hinchey allocated a milk handling improvement program in the most recent budget that was passed retroactively back to April. And our affiliate organization, the Farm and Food Growth Fund, also based out of our offices in Hudson, New York, will actually be leading a RFP process and an application review scoring process for dairy farmers across the state to be able to apply for grant funds to improve their milk handling equipment and their milk storage equipment on the farm. But also, and I think just as importantly, for the transportation companies and the processing companies to improve their infrastructure so that we give the dairy farmers more flexibility and better stability and food safety efforts on the farm to hold milk, to get the milk picked up, and to move the milk to the processing facilities. So that'll happen across New York State. So the existing dairy farms here in Ulster County, but also in the Hudson Valley, are going to see some great benefit from that.
Great.
That's probably the biggest thing to dairy, that second
piece. And that's one of the reasons why we were so excited to be working with HVADC in this new lens, because we're drawing upon their expertise and also the connections that we have in Ulster County to boost, bolster our.
Great. Well, thank you all for that.
Sure. We're down there really two dairy farms, one in Gardner, they're milking 12 cows, they're selling raw milk. And then one up in Hardenburg, they're milking maybe 20. And, you know, we've lost a lot of dairy farms, especially during the pandemic when, you know, the schools closed and a lot of farmers are dumping milk. So after the, right around 2021, in 2022, we lost the last bit. Pretty sad. Big issue is that the commodity prices have not kept up with inflation. So I failed because the milk price when I was 25 years old was the same price it was when I was zero, the year I was born. So, you know, it's pretty much get big or get out, which is sad.
Andrew.
Any other questions?
I just think it's important to note that there's a system, there's a whole system here that, that it's not just the farm side, it's also the processing side. And we are fortunate to have a processor that exists right here in the city of Kingston, which is Moises Dairy, which is now Hudson Valley Fresh. But I think that's really important, and making sure that that processor stays in business is a really important piece of the puzzle in terms of making sure that dairies and the material that comes out of the dairy farms are capable of being processed.
And can I just add to that, I mean, Dennis, you hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, Boyce is the oldest continuously operating family-owned dairy processing facility in the state of New York. That's not lost on those who work there. That's not lost that those are in the industry. And they're working directly with a group of farmers, Hudson Valley Fresh, that have formed a spinoff label in partnership and in support of Cap, Abbott, and Agrimark that helps them access, source the milk, but also keep the standards that Hudson Valley Fresh has set as a product and with that label. So we're very aware of that and have historically worked with the farmers and the Boyce family and look forward to, you know, having a potential for some more processing and more updating with.
In full disclosure to the committee, I actually sit on Todd's board, so.
You would. Any other comments or questions? All right. Well, thank you so much for the presentation, and let's keep the conversation going and figure out ways of collaborating and supporting you guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.
Great. All right. So, we did that. So we have Resolution 379, which is approving the execution of a contract for $200,000 entered into by the County, Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District, Department of Finance, as mentioned in the presentation. Is there any discussion or questions?
I will not only move it, but I would like to be added as a sponsor.
Okay, noted.
I'm not on the committee, but I'd like to be added as a sponsor as well.
Okay. Same, please.
And I'd like to jump on that bandwagon, too.
Yep. Does everybody on the committee want to be added?
Sure.
But you can
put the whole legislature on there.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Thank you. See you at the fair.
Omar.
I didn't catch that.
We need a second for that.
Second.
Okay. Legislator Clinton, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and it passes. And now on to resolution number 380, approving the execution of a contract for $689,702 entered into by the county, the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, Department of Finance.
I will move it and ask to be a sponsor.
And I will second and the same.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Wonderful. And it passes. All right, now we're moving, going backwards to go forwards. Resolution number 168, adopting proposed local law number 1 of 2024, a local law amending Article 3, Hotel and Motel Room Occupancy Tax of the Code of the County of Ulster in relation to determination of taxable rent. I've been asked to postpone this resolution.
I'd like to be added as a sponsor.
To this resolution?
Mm-hmm.
168?
Yep. Okay. Who has to postpone it?
Kathy.
I can say that I have not communicated with the sponsor of this, which is Legislator Joe Maloney, this month. But we had communication with him last month, which was that we should finish the work of the working group, which is still requesting additional information from the vendors, and we have had his support at that time for continuing to postpone until we had completed the work. So that's the understanding I can give you tonight.
And I haven't heard anything from the sponsor.
I haven't heard anything from the sponsor.
So that's why I'm making a motion to postpone.
And do we know when that committee is supposed to wrap up their work?
We had hoped to have it for this month, but did not, so I think next month.
I need a second.
Do we need a...
You made the motion?
I made the motion.
I do need a second. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah, I'll oppose, because this has been kicked, this can has been kicked down the road since last year.
I'll oppose.
Okay. That's fine.
You've already voted, but just to say that there, the working group as a whole continues to have hope that we can come forward with something that would garner the support of the majority of the legislature, and if a vote were forced at this time, I'm pretty sure that there would not be support for passing this. So continuing to do the work to try to obtain support for this is really important to me.
May I ask what that work is? Is it changing the numbers again?
On the percentages?
Yeah.
I think we beat the numbers to death and what they're offering. And
it is actually answering specific questions of those legislators who do not support this about how the working group came to the conclusion that 80-20 is the correct proportion. And that 20% number has to be justified. There are still legislators who are unconvinced with the information we provided previously. The vendors are willing to provide more information, and we need to provide them with the questions. So anybody at this meeting or hearing this who has a specific question, the commitment of the working group is to collect those, go to the vendors, get the answers, bring them back. And then I think we do have an up or down vote based on that. But I don't think it's going to result in much change unless somebody points out, a flaw in the process that the working group used. It could be that there would be additional qualifications. So the changes that the working group proposed and that are in the current law include going to the 2080 for the mega resorts,
mm-hmm.
and defining what those activities are. We can easily add a list of illustrative activities, and so we could propose to do that. There's been some consideration of whether to include a requirement for on-site housing, which both of the vendors that qualify currently do already offer, or certain qualifications about number of employees and how those employees are handled in ways other than housing. These vendors are exemplary in terms of how they take care of their employees, provide housing, but we're willing to include, the working group is willing to include those kinds of considerations if that helps to reassure people that there won't be a large number of additional hotels that come forward trying to claim this. We have information, and basically there are very few hotels that request any waiver under this current structure. So we feel it's very unlikely that there will be venues that come forward trying to get this 80-20% split on their tax, lodging tax. To do that, they have to offer three meals a day plus these other activities, and there are very few hotels in Ulster County that offer three meals a day because it costs a lot of money to do it, and it's very low margin. And so what we've done, I think, is the working group has clarified that this group, though they do large-scale business, has very low margins compared to the rest of the sector. And so giving them, taxing them only on what they pay for lodging is what the working group would recommend, and that would be the 20-80 split. But there is some convincing to do to have the legislature vote in favor of that.
So I appreciate what the working group's doing. Has the proponents to this resolution visited these sites yet, like we have?
The opponents?
Yes, the opponents, I'm sorry.
I think we can encourage that to happen.
That's the best thing to do for that working group, is to encourage them to go to these sites that are offering the extensive amount of services they're offering and having to pay the tax on top of everything except for the room and board. And again, I appreciate what you're doing. I'll change my vote. I'm okay on the postponement. I want this to go through, and if it takes another month, that's fine, but it's costing those mega resorts $20,000 to $30,000 a month every month, especially during the busy season here.
Okay. We need to recall the vote.
I can announce it if you'd like.
Yes, please.
The resolution is postponed 5-1 legislator Litz.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, moving on to resolution number 366, approving the execution of a contract for $80,000 entered into by the county and Arts Mid-Hudson, Inc. Through the legislature. This is an annual agreement. It's an $80,000 contract with Arts Mid-Hudson for the calendar year of 1/2024 through 12/31/2024. To facilitate the Ulster County Cultural Services and Promotion Fund to maintain the artistic and cultural assets of Ulster County and promote the county through arts and cultural activities. This is 100% county funds, and it's the same amount that the 20 and 23 contracts were for. Questions? Comments? Does anybody want to make a motion to approve this?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. It passes. Moving on to resolution number 376, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with the Ellenville Central School District for the operation of the Brighter Futures Initiative Program, Office of Employment and Training. I see our director of OET is here. Do you want to speak to this, or do you want me to?
No, absolutely. As you may know, the Brighter Futures Initiative, or BFI, is our youth development life skills training program for at-risk youth in Ulster County. We have a program site located in Ellenville. Ellenville actually helps and assists facilitate the program, so teachers are used as mentors or take on the role of mentors. We utilize a lot of their facility, and we do collaborative work with some of their other clubs there. And so there has been an agreement in the past between the former departments that supervise BFI, and we are continuing that process of contracting with the Ellenville School District for the facilitation of the BFI program.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 It passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next resolution is resolution number 377, approving the execution of a contract amendment of $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, and the Office of Employment and Training.
I'll move it.
Hold on. We just want to hear from Sharon.
Yes. I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you remember, the initial contract resolution was proposed to the legislature in February, I believe. One of the things that we are never quite sure of is what our actual allocation will be for a particular program. This particular contract is for our summer youth employment program, and we received an additional allocation or more money than anticipated. So moving the contract with United Way would push it above the normal $50,000 aggregate. So we're looking to amend that contract.
I'll move it for now.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you. And moving on to resolution number 385, authorizing the planning department to submit an application.
378.
Did I go? I just did it.
377.
You did 378.
Or 378.
They're not the same.
Oh,
no.
Did I say 378 for 377?
No.
I'm losing it.
Sorry. 378.
You're amongst
friends.
Thanks, Mitch.
I'll move it for adoption.
It's mostly because I give hugs when people come to this meeting. Everybody's so nice. Okay, resolution number 378, approving the execution of a contract for $625,000 entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, and the Office of Employment and Training.
You didn't hug me, for the record.
Well, don't worry, you'll get one on the way out.
I'll move it for adoption.
Okay. Anybody want to second it?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Wonderful. Now, thank you, Sharon, for coming. All right, moving on to resolution number 385, authorizing the planning department to submit an application for building cleaner communities grant to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application, CFA, for the Government Operations Center at Paradise Lane, New Paltz, Department of Planning. Yes, Legislator Litz.
I will be abstaining from this vote, but also you have to remove me as a sponsor.
Got it.
I cannot sponsor.
Are you on it as a sponsor?
Probably as a default.
Okay. Thank you for disclosing that information. Any questions or comments amongst the committee? Would anybody like to move it for adoption?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, and I just wanted to make a note.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a note that everyone will receive an email with an invitation to a special law enforcement and public safety committee meeting for a presentation update on the Government Operations Center in the near future. So I hear. Okay, moving on to resolution number 386, authorizing the planning department to submit an application for a building cleaner communities grant to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application for the Community Wellness Hub located at 368 Broadway, Kingston, Department of Planning. Discussion or questions?
I'm moving for adoption.
Director Doyle?
I just want to make one comment, and that is that these two grant application authorizations are for the same grant source or the same grant type of facility, which is geothermal facilities. We haven't made a determination yet. We wanted the authorization to apply for either or both, but the concern that we have from the planning department's perspective is that we don't want to compete against a superior grant. So we may make a decision that we don't apply for one, and we have applied in the past for 368 Broadway and we're not funded. So that's the least likely one that we may apply for.
So
the committee should be aware of that, that we may not apply for actually for both of them.
Thank you for sharing that. Do you feel like, do you strategically speaking at this moment, what do you think is the viability?
Well, the thought behind the grant, if you look at the grant guidelines, is essentially moving towards net zero. We have a design guide with respect to the government operational center to go to net zero. And it's also it also has to do with looking at how reproducible or unique or innovative they are. A net zero emergency management facility has not been built in New York State. So there's a couple of things that sort of favor that as well as cost.
Mm-hmm. Great. Is there a motion?
I have a motion by Litz. I do not have a second.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Great. Okay, resolution number 387, authorizing the Planning Department to submit an application to the New York Environmental Facilities Corporation via the NYSEFC Customer Portal Department of Planning.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. Sorry. For the legislative corporation.
I'm giving it to you.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Move. Resolution number 388, authorizing an application to the New York State Connect All Regional and Local Assistance Program to build capacity for efforts to expand broadband access and authorizing the submittal of any necessary authorizations and certifications as required by the program. Questions?
Can we maybe just get a brief explanation about
sure.
what this is?
Director Doyle or?
Sure. This is a capacity building or planning program for broadband. What we can tell you, we've been working with the Digital Commission that was put together by the Comptroller's Office. What we can tell you about the Connect All program is that it's complicated. It seems designed to confuse and not enhance some of this. And so as they gradually rolled out at implementation funds, they've also now decided that maybe they should roll out some planning funds to make sure that there's a plan behind what people are trying to implement. So this is where that's at. The discussion here is whether or not we're actually going to be competitive if we apply, given the, believe it or not, the county doesn't have a substantial number of people that are under, that are not served in the county. I would tell you that we, in the past, the legislature did authorize us to apply for support Margaretville Telephone's application in the Shandaken area and in the Denning area to essentially provide additional broadband passages in those areas. Margaretville Telephone made a business decision not to apply, even though they had a supporting resolution from the legislature. We're looking at broad areas in terms of what the BEAD challenges are coming up. Anything west of 209 is going to be in a single service area. We're concerned whether or not we're actually going to get applications here for these types of areas, that we're not going to see business decisions that no one applies for. So we're trying to get ahead of that and trying to say, well, if that's not the case, then we should have some planning decisions with respect to that. One of the things we have not heard from the executive staff or from the commission itself or from the legislature is that we wanted to be in the broadband business as a county. So you're a little relying on the private sector. There are some good opportunities within the private sector, particularly with some of the changeovers. Verizon is looking to whether or not they want to maintain copper. And they may end up doing broadband work in a broad swath. But this is trying to give us a heads up to just to see if we can find some planning money in case nothing happens.
I was going to ask Director Doyle if would any of this have any impact on perhaps piggybacking with cell phone service to address the lack of cell phone coverage on 209?
No, I can update you after the meeting about where we are in that. We're meeting regularly on a weekly basis with respect to cell phone coverage countywide. I would say this, that the BEAD program, excuse me, the Connect All program also has a cell phone specific component to it. And we are engaged in conversations with those individuals as well. So we'll see what happens with respect to that. From my perspective, and I've said this to the group, as a planner and in some instances a regulator, allowing a business that essentially is as critical to public safety and also critical to communications, that has the mantra of a public utility, but not the regulations of a public utility, seems to be a little out of place. I don't know how to get a handle on that, but when companies are making business decisions in terms of where they go and where they don't go with respect to cell carriers and cell coverage, it becomes a lot more difficult for us on the public safety side to respond. I will also tell you that on the Tongji Mountain build, we have two cell carriers that are made proposals to the county to be on that tower. We are starting a design document for a cell tower, emergency communication tower in Rosendale. We have one cell carrier on that. Our design goal for all of our public communication towers is effectively to allow for a minimum of two cell carriers on those towers. So we anticipate that that's the case. We're also in discussions with Verizon relative to a facility in Phoenicia where we were looking at one side of the mountain and they were looking at the other side of the mountain. And we may be able to basically co-locate on a pick a side. So that's a discussion that's ongoing right now.
And are you including the town supervisors in on those?
Absolutely, meetings? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we were going through a balance of public interest test. So those, and in the case of Rosendale, it's both because we have Rosendale and Marbletown.
Yeah.
I will tell you that we also are working with Verizon in the Hurley area to try to make sure that they have a solution to some of the coverage problems in Hurley. They were originally looking at the church in Hurley, and now we're working with them to look somewhere else.
Yes, because I'd spoken to the pastor of that church recently, and he said that basically nothing was happening. So,
it's unfair to say nothing was happening. I would say that Verizon is committed to providing service in that area. We're trying to find a location, and it doesn't appear that the church is going to be that location.
Well, I'm so excited to hear you say that because this has been an ongoing issue with my constituents and the two town supervisors that I deal with, on a regular basis. Uh-huh. And wow, if we could have a discussion, later on, that would be
not awesome. A problem. That but it is ongoing.
Okay, well, I'm thrilled to hear that. So yeah. Thank you.
Legislator Collins.
A question back to broadband. So, Archtop made a presentation to the town of Woodstock last year. They are coming into Woodstock, is my understanding. Is that one of the private entities that's actually going to help with this process, or how does that work?
They have the ability to bid for the unserved areas. Whether they will or not, we don't know.
Okay.
But we have had ongoing conversations with respect to Archtop as well, particularly as a local company with respect to their facilities at iPark.
Okay.
And they are a satellite company?
No.
Fiber.
Archtop is a
fiber.
Fiber company that is using a different kind of fiber that has a better capacity than the current fiber that's out there. It's a gig capacity, as I understand it.
It is.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a gig capacity. It's also they're going to bury it, supposedly.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah.
Yes. Super fast, super hot.
Yeah.
I would like to know a little bit more about Archtop's, how many employees they have, just a little bit more, because I know that they are kind of an anchor tenant at iPark right now, and have they been growing? So if we can get that information, that would be great.
And I know that they signed contracts with some municipalities.
Great.
That would be great.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Sure.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hey, moving right along. Resolution number 389, adopting the inclusion of additional lands in the agricultural districts within Ulster County as recommended by the Ulster County Ag and Farmland Protection Board Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great.
Just a quick question. Does this include the gentleman who appeared before the legislative session the other day?
It does not, and he's actually one of my constituents, mm-hmm. and I have been in communication with him and some of the Ag board members, and they made recommendations for some things for him to do and to reapply. So I support their call,
okay.
and I communicated that to him.
Yes. Well, thank you for that update.
Yeah. Okay.
For them to support it, he would need to make some
agricultural improvements and investments.
Okay.
If I can.
Yes.
You voted, but
Director Doyle is on the board.
Yes, I serve by title, as does the head of the Rural Property Tax Agency, served by title. I think it's important to note that the board has been very, very cautious with respect to adding lands to ag districts, particularly with respect to whether or not there's a shown investment in agriculture on those areas. We're assisted in that both from Cornell work with respect to the site visits that occur, as well as Soil and Water Conservation District. So when they move not to include properties in the district, you can pretty much be assured that there's not an investment in agriculture on those properties as of yet. There may be a long discussion about what we would like to do, but not any indication that they actually done anything at this particular point in time. So none of these are precluded from applying in the next round of additions. Additions take place every March. They start March 1 and run to March 30th. So they have another opportunity at that particular point.
And also, there's more information on the process and the feedback given to each of the applicants in the backup for this resolution. All right, moving on to 390, authorizing the planning department to submit application for strategic planning and feasibility studies program grant to New York State Empire State Development Corporation via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application for development of the Ulster County Modular Construction Strategic Plan for Affordable Housing Department of Planning. Discussion or questions? Legislator Stewart.
Okay. There's a situation in Hurley that I know Legislator Collins is familiar with too. And it's where a group of developers has created a not-for-profit to administer and also add to an existing manufactured home park. Galasip.
Very, very much familiar with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this would be funding that could apply?
No.
No.
This is a strategic planning fund. This is actually, I kid Kevin every now and then, he does housing and I do economic development mm-hmm. work when he does housing. So I'm doing a little bit of economic development work where the planning department is. This is literally trying to think about whether or not a housing manufacturer of modular housing can actually exist in the county, and putting a feasibility study together that could be used to attract a modular housing production company, whether it be on the panelized side or whether it be on actual building the modular houses. This is not essentially building houses.
Right.
This is a feasibility study. I would note that it's a 50% match.
And this is modular housing as opposed to manufactured housing. So when
Yes,
overlap.
We don't call them mobile homes anymore.
Right.
But modulars can go as high. I mean, you can get four apartment units that is a modular house.
Right.
But this is looking at essentially, can we support a manufacturing facility here?
Legislator Collins.
Yeah, I want to add to that. So it is about that the modular building or manufactured building, whatever you want to call it, trying to get one closer to us will reduce the transportation cost, reduce the cost of doing that. When we built the school that I built, we had to go to Albany to have them come down with panelized systems for us. So transportation was a significant part of our cost in building. So the closer they come, the better it's going to be for us. So if it's feasible for them to relocate here, it would be advantageous for our housing.
And of course, it's Johnson money.
It's Johnson money. Yeah.
And it survived in Marlboro for quite a long time. And
that's exactly right. That's one of the,
Yep.
And I would also say that we're seeing very small scale panelized work being done by Habitat for Humanity in Columbia County, which is an opportunity to think whether or not we could expand that in different areas. So don't think of these as large, really large factories. You can think of panelized construction in very much smaller shops.
Okay.
That's great. My understanding from the discussion in health and human services about this is it can be 50% of the cost mm-hmm. can be the transportation, mm-hmm. and that's also a climate cost. So I strongly support this, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it, I'm going to say this, that if there's a way to think about health as a possible, you know, collaborative industry that is trying to get started here, there are lots of people who put a lot of energy into that.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So just so the committee knows, we have an individual that works in the planning department as a senior planning position. It's Kyle Lord Farmer. He does not get enough credit for his brain and his enthusiasm and his professionalism. So he's the author behind this and behind some of the research, and he deserves that credit.
Well, maybe he should
show up to one of our meetings.
He has.
I'm just kidding. I love Kai. Kai knows it.
You okay. Give him a hug, I guess.
Listen. Gotta keep it on the DL. We're live streamed right now. Okay. How are my numbers, Tyron?
Getting up there.
Getting up there. All right. We're moving on to resolution number 391, authorizing the County of Ulster to submit an application of assurances to the New York State Office of Community Renewal for Community Development Block Grant funds for the year 2024 Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. And lastly, we have resolution number 392, authorizing the Department of Planning to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation, USDOT, for funding under the Safe Streets and Roads for All, SS4A program to perform a comprehensive analysis of road safety for all users, Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
Legislator Stewart.
I just had a question. Would this also include sidewalk studies?
Yes, but not in the detail that you're thinking about. It would include sidewalks. It would include sidewalks and crosswalks as it relates to safe systems for all of that approach, but it's not an in-depth look at sidewalks. Think of this as, anybody heard of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, otherwise known as the bill? They have a certain requirements with respect for eligibility for construction money. And what this does is the county, through its MPO, Ulster County Transportation Council, was one of the first in the state to complete a safe system study. We get a road safety plan. That's out in line. I think, unfortunately, because we were so far ahead of the time, it doesn't quite meet all of the federal requirements. If we want to go back and look at how to meet those federal requirements and not only break down some of the road systems and pedestrians and vulnerable road users recommendations by priority in terms of countywide, but also break them down by priority in terms of on a municipal basis so that we have a municipal background to some of this. In addition, by pulling together some of the work relative to segments and intersections and linking them together and indicating how they could be combined together, that also makes things a lot more logical in terms of how applications are put together. The example I would give you is in the city of Kingston, there's a
Flatbush Avenue project, which the city is significantly short on. They're seeking money. They actually applied for a Safe Routes for All construction grant. They were not successful. I think in part because we had to stretch our study for the eligibility requirements, and it didn't score well because of that stretch. So this will give everybody a little bit better chance for those applications. I will tell you that these studies are, A, they're not cheap, and B is that they're not short. They take some time to do. They put together a lot of data, a lot of crash data, a lot of movement data to come up with solutions and or those intersections and those segments of the highway that are in need of the most improvements. And it changes what I would say, it changes a look at how you approach engineering solutions to looking at it as exactly what it says. It's a safe systems approach, not just individual intersections, not just individual sections, but that the whole system works in a safe manner. And that's a long explanation for a simple question, and I apologize for that.
How does this relate to the Safe Routes to School program? Or is there any correlation whatsoever?
So Safe Routes to School is a separate federal program. Okay. I wouldn't say it's unrelated, but I would say that it's not. They're not closely related in that sense. But when you look at where you have vulnerable users, schools may be one of the areas that you look at. And we're at some disadvantage because of you're competing against a lot more urbanized areas with a lot more significant problems.
You had mentioned something a moment ago. I don't know, was that that $1 trillion package that Congress passed a year or two ago for infrastructure?
Yes, close to that. Mm-hmm. But okay. Yes, it's called the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, and it's been shortened to BIL, B-I-L, but which confuses everybody, but that's what it's been shortened to. The examples I would give you in terms of projects that have been funded by BIL in Ulster County have been the most recent opening portion of the funding for the Word Street Bridge actually came from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. That bridge is open, by the way. There was a ribbon cutting today if you haven't seen it. And then there was a signalization down in Gardner that was also a portion of the problem down there that we identified in our safety study that was now signalized. That was also funded by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act as well.
What is BIL? Like, what is that?
How they arrived at that, you have to ask someone else.
Infrastructure.
Do you think, I know this is a kind of a broad, do you think that those monies are going to be coming, okay, trickling down to help pave some of these state roads? Okay. Some of these state roads seem to be in great disrepair.
Sure. Not really a pavement program, okay, per se.
All right.
But so I take what you're saying with respect to pavement condition. We've had a very difficult winter for some reason, and a lot of pavement peeled. We've been in conversations with NYSDOT with respect to their paving program. There's not a lot of money for pavement right out there right now, and we are going to see some pavement on Route 208. In the Gardner area, but Route 30, anybody that drives Route 32 or Route 209 or portions of Route 28, you know that there's problems there. We're not aware of pavement programs in those areas as of today.
Yeah, somebody should take 213.
But
they're most of them are not good.
I know. The update on BIL is Bipartisan Infrastructure Law.
Yeah.
BIL.
Just one L.
It's just one L. It's a short L, not a long one. Okay, is there a motion for?
I made a motion.
Lieutenant Clinton seconded.
Wonderful. Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. So that's our...
Director Doyle for bringing the 4th of July into the meeting.
Yes, so festive.
Didn't know where to turn during the pledge, but other than that, it's
Well, it's getting bigger than the flag, I can tell
you. Oh, Legislator Stewart.
One thing I just wanted to mention real quick is that we have an invitation to tour iPark 87, and that comes from Dan Ahouse, who serves on the IDA. And I was just wondering if that's something that you have considered.
He doesn't serve on the IDA. He's not on the IDA.
Oh.
Mr. Strong.
I'm sorry. Okay. My apologies.
But we know who he is.
I haven't, I haven't been aware, made aware of the invitation.
It was extended to me, which I extended to you.
Oh, okay.
And so...
we're going to set it up.
Okay. Yeah. That would be great.
Yep. And also, I just wanted to let you guys know, Melanie from Cornell Cooperative Extension had to jet for another meeting, but she wanted me to remind everybody that we have an elected official invite to the Ulster County Fair 4-H Tour on Wednesday, July 31st at 4:30 p.m., and we will be sure to circulate that information to the entire legislature.
Yeah, we're having legislative meetings that night.
But you got to go there first and get the tour and the ice cream.
Yeah, the milkshake.
You got to get the milkshake.
Yeah.
Milkshakes.
So I haven't figured out how to get from New Paltz to this office building in 3 minutes. But I'll try.
You can ride with me.
Man,
their helicopter.
The other thing I want to say is there's for quite a bit. The other thing I want to say is there's quite a bit of applications here. Is none of this would be possible without essentially the cooperation and assistance of your new grants management team. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the expertise is coming out of the planning department. And the enthusiasm, but there are a lot of grunt work that goes into writing grants. And you need that supporting infrastructure, organizational infrastructure, and we now have it. And it allows us a little bit more freedom. I would hope that in all of your discussions at the legislative level in terms of how to best to do this, that we find a way that we don't have to write individual resolutions to authorize the application for grants. Because sooner or later, we're going to miss a deadline, or we're going to miss a problem, or we're going to miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
And we need to think about and try to find a way with the legislature to say, how can we make this more effective than effectively writing individual resolutions and discussing them with to allowing us to essentially participate in a much more streamlined fashion without any loss of transparency to the legislature.
I'd like to think that there might be a way to group the categories of applications. Many of them are recurring, and to have a kind of standing okay for an application with notification to the county. I mean, these are essential monies. And, you know, when we're dealing with New York State and Health and Human Services, we're getting those things, you know, there's kind of overlap, and we often have these kind of deadlines that don't 100% make sense, but we always make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think we should maybe use that model and maybe some idea of this is something that we want to apply for every year if we can.
Or if it is part of a capital project and it reduces your cost on your capital project, and the capital project has already been authorized or undergoing, that's one way, or if there's no match.
And
there's a lot of different ways you could skin the cat, but as long as we skin it, I think would be helpful.
I think it would be great if we could get some recommendations from the executive's office. And
we could consider them and then come back to you with an operational kind of strategy / collaboration.
Yeah, I think you had 2 suggestions that mentioned. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's no our cost, why not just let them do that? Or if it's paying for something that we've already approved, why not just let them do that? So I think those are 2 simple steps we can take.
And we would always get a chance to make a decision about accepting or using the funds. So, and the number of times when we have those monies available and don't use them is like vanishingly small in my 30 years of observing this body. So, yeah, that's great. Great suggestion.
Is there a motion for adjournment?
Yes, there is. One other quick thing about the fair that was mentioned. I hope that when we're negotiating with the Ag Foundation, that
Ag Society,
that we will in the contract that we will specify that they need to have some sort of a composting program in place,
waste management program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether it's through Greenway or some related company, but we need to. That's something I think that we need to look at when we're talking to them.
I'll just mention in response to that, the Ag Society has contracted with outside vendors to do that work. And so I know it was mentioned that they don't seem to be agreeable to go that way. But when you enter into a contract and you say, okay, your job is to take care of the waste, that's your job. You can't later on say, I want you to take this and put it here, and take that and put it over there, and take this and do it over there, because then that's outside the contract. What they need to do is in the future, if we want them to do that, we have to make them aware of that, because I'm sure that contract's going to be a lot larger than the one they have now. So we need to make sure that we understand that it's going to cost the county money to do that, as well as the agricultural side of the society to do that. It is, we just need to make them aware of the intent. But absent of that, we really can't criticize them for just going into a contract to take their waste away.
The only thing I would say is we have a similar situation when it comes to demolition debris. And when we did the demolition of the jail, we had a goal with it for demolition or recycling of that demolition debris in the jail, and they had a report to us. So the contractor that moved that jail, that demolition debris off the site, reported back to us what their recycling rate was, and it was really astonishingly high. It was over 80%. Of that material got recycled.
But that was in their contracted agreement. But if you did not have that in your contracted agreement, you can't criticize them for having less than 82%.
But I think the contractors are aware of it now, particularly the waste haulers. They should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Legislator Collins?
Yeah, I think the intention is to talk about to the Ag Society or Ag at the next contract time that we contract with them, not to hold them to something that they've already agreed to. I think that is a future plan.
Agree. My understanding that we're going to sign a contract with them again soon, correct?
We have a 5-year contract with them.
2025.
2025 comes up.
And there's
but
no
those
reason,
are things we need to bring up in our negotiations,
yes.
Not criticize them after the fact because they didn't do something that they weren't required to do. And to be honest with you, I mean, they're going to hire a refuse hauler to do the work. And the cheapest contract they can get is from the cheapest guy to do it. And we're going to tell them that, well, listen, we expect approaching zero waste, and we expect, you know, all of these things similar to what I volunteered to do at the Garlic Festival. If that's what you want, that comes with a price tag. But you got to tell them up front that this is what we're going to require in the contract so they can seek that out. And make that part of their proposal.
And that's exactly what I suggested.
Beautiful.
No, yes.
Great.
Right.
Can we reintroduce that motion for adjournment?
I did.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It wasn't.